Welcome to LOA Today. Walt Thiessen and Life Coach Wendy Dillard here. Today is Friday, February the 9th, 2018, 4 p.m. Eastern Time, our second daily dose of happy. And we're once again going to be spending a lot of time on the latest piece of the book that we're working on, The Law of Attraction, The Basics of the Teachings of Abraham by Esther and Jerry Hicks. And this is the book that both Wendy and I and others consider to be the best primer out there. So that's why we're taking our time going through this, because there's all these little juicy tidbits and we want to have a nibble on every one of them.
I like that. Let's nibble.
And we're also nibbling on all the good things that have been happening in our lives. We were talking about before the show, one thing that's really exciting that I spent a good portion of yesterday and today working on is a way of connecting a conference calling system into our broadcast system so that we can take calls more easily than with the system that I had set up before. Because as great as it was to have a connection to both Google Voice and Skype, there have been problems. There have been a few things that haven't worked so well, and sometimes we've been getting call drops and sound drops and so forth, and I thought, you know what? We don't have to put up with that. There's got to be something better out there. And I've been doing a lot of searching.
Can I jump in and say something about that?
Yeah.
So here's what I know about Law of Attraction. For months and months and months, and now you've been doing like 11 calls a week.
Yeah.
Every time we've experienced a show, or you've experienced a show, because you do it with all the co-hosts, and you didn't have the clarity of really good technology, where it wasn't working smoothly,
right.
I know that was something that you were not happy with.
Oh, yeah.
To some degree or another.
Yep.
Which meant every single time that happened, you were putting your preference for ease, flow, smooth technology into your vortex.
Oh, yes, in a big way.
So I absolutely know that what's coming, what is like you're about to receive in a big, huge way, is the fulfillment of what you've been asking for, because you haven't asked for it just once.
No.
You've asked for it every single time the show has been happening.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, I know with you and me, we've done at least 50 shows, so you've probably done at least, let's say, 120 shows, so at least 120 times you've said, oh my gosh, I really want better technology. I want something that's fabulous.
Yeah.
And so I just thought I would just make a note of that, because it's worth noting.
It is.
That that's what is coming to you.
It is coming, and it's coming in a spectacular way, because I did find a solution that we can work with that's going to take us to a much better level. We're actually going to be using the conference call capabilities of a website called freeconference.com. And it is really very good software. Their software is quite commendable. I mean, I got to give them a lot of credit. I mean, they're giving a lot of it away. Free conference really is free conference. Some of these free things out there aren't really all that free. Theirs really is. They do have premium plans where you get extra features, but they're not features that we use. So it really is free for us, and that's like the best thing.
Yeah.
Free? What, how do you beat free? You know, free is the best, right? So
we like free.
We love free. Yeah. Go free. So,
but
yeah.
I wanted to make a note, well, not just for the listeners, but for you specifically. Like the woes that you've been through and how you have toiled over finding a new system that really is technology-wise what you're looking for, you've asked for it. And so we know that when you ask, it is given.
It definitely is given. And it's not just that I asked for it. I insisted on better. It was like, I want a better system. I want a system that like knocks the socks off of what we had before. And this is doing it. In fact, one of the things I love about this system is it's setting us up for the day when we can have other people hosting a show besides me. I mean, if you wanted to,
wow,
for instance, do a show with Cindy, for instance, you guys could actually do a show because I'll be able to put the technology in your hands so you can do it. Before, what I had was you know, wired together with baling wire and chewing gum. It barely held together. This is something that is easily reproducible on anyone's desktop, and I just can't believe how easy it is to work. And there's still things I want to improve even beyond it, but boy, is this is like a mega step forward. It's gigantic.
What comes to me is that the technology you started with was okay, Mm-hmm. But you have been asking for bigger, better in terms of the show, in terms of the number of shows we do and new guest hosts and all sorts of different possibilities. And so you wanted to make it so that once we did expand into lots of different hosts, that it would be easy to turn it over to people and train them, like, in 2 seconds, practically, with something that was easy and that you didn't need a technology guru like you to be able to figure out how to make it work.
Exactly.
And so I love, now this may be a stretch, but I love that what we had didn't work well. Because by it not working well, it caused you to continue to seek and search for something better. So there you go.
That's true, because ultimately, the only time we ever really look for something that we really love is because the contrast of life has shown us what we don't want. And by contrast, we can see, okay, I don't want that, so therefore, I must want that over there. I want that.
Well, very few people leave a job that they really like. Like, as a matter of fact, I was having lunch with a friend yesterday who was a coworker, somebody that actually welcomed me into the company 10 plus years ago. Mm. And I learned, like, a week and a half ago that her job got eliminated.
Oh, wow.
And she, like, found out about it at a lunch with her boss, and boom, she had to pack up her stuff, turn in her laptop, and she was gone.
Yeah.
And so yesterday we were having lunch just because, you know, we care about each other, and just to say, oh, my gosh, what happened? And let's just talk and see where things are at. Well, as she was talking, I just looked into her face and I said, well, what now? I mean, are you ready to retire, or, you know, are you going to look for something else? And she started talking about some things that in her mind had been on the back burner for years. And she said, yeah, you know what? I really do want to keep working. I want to do something. Otherwise I'll be bored. And she started talking about some ideas of places that she wanted to apply, and her whole face lit up.
Ooh, yeah.
I mean, like, really lit up. And I said, you know, you've been at this job for almost 20 years. You've loved this job for almost 20 years. And, I mean, she was happy to be here for at least a couple more before she decided she wanted to retire.
Mm-hmm.
But I just looked at her. I said, but here's what I know. I said, sometimes we get so comfortable with what is that what we really desire, another wonderful experience or another adventure, is literally calling to us. But we can't really hear it over the noise of, but I'm so satisfied with where I am.
Good point.
And I looked at her and I said, would you have ever just on your own decided to retire early and just take a shot at these other things? And she's like, no. I said, and sometimes because the universe absolutely knows what you truly desire and what's already in your vortex, I didn't use those words because she's not LOA, but I came close to it. I said, sometimes you kind of have to get a kick in the butt in a way that on the surface feels really uncomfortable, but ultimately it moves you toward what really makes you happy.
Mm.
Wow. Yeah. Hmm. I believe that. You're right. But because, like, I didn't see any pain in her. It's been a week and a half, and most people, I think, would still be just so pissed off that they got the boot. And yet,
probably true.
She was just kind of like, no, it's going to be fine. And I said, well, what about this? What about that? She goes, no, I talked to my financial advisor. He said I'm going to be totally fine. And I'm like, and now you get to start some new adventures.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I've been in that place.
Sure.
You know, like, when things are going so well, you don't think that there could be something that you want to reach for that's even better.
That's right.
So here we are back to the technology thing. I believe the vision for LOA today is so huge, I mean so huge, that you've got to have technology that's going to support where we're going.
Oh, absolutely. And in fact, it's technology that the solutions have to kind of grow over time. Because even this solution that we're working on today, which is looking pretty good, it worked well this morning with Tom, and it's so far working pretty well with you too. As good as this is actually only the next step. There's got to be more steps along the line that I'm already envisioning. But this is definitely going to take us to the level we need to get to next.
Exciting.
Very exciting. I'm loving it. I'm having a good time. I'm feeling good. Can you see the smile on my face? Oh, I wish. That's right. This is in video. Oh, well.
I see it. I hear it. I energetically feel it.
You do. Okay. Well, that's good. That's good.
Oh, yeah.
Which actually ties in, as usual, to the topic, because what we're talking about today, we're still in Section 2, and we're up to the subsection entitled My Omnipresent Emotional Guidance System. My Omnipotent Emotional Guidance
All
System.
All right, Walt, I will call you, yes, you are the show's omnipotent.
Oh, that's funny.
No coincidences. Only synchronicity.
So my omnipresent emotional guidance system, and the one that we all have, I mean, that's certainly something I've been learning a whole lot over the last few years of how to tap into. And I have to say that we're reaching, or at least I'm reaching into areas I've never experienced before, just because of that. I mean, Tom and I were having a conversation this morning about visualization. And Wendy, maybe you've experienced this. You tell me. He was telling me about how he had this waking experience. In other words, as he was waking up, he had this experience where all of a sudden it was as if he was able to visualize his entire body energetically waking up. And as it woke up, it was like, you know how on a computer, when your computer starts up, you have programs that start up? Well, all the various little resistances that he's accumulated over the years, you know, like tennis elbow or, you know, a pain in the knee or discomfort because of something in his gut or, you know, that kind of thing. He could actually watch them booting up visually in his awareness. And I was just fascinated by that. And he said not only did that happen, but as he was able to watch it and kind of experience what resistances were involved and stuff, what he couldn't actually name them, but he could sense how the resistances were affecting them, and he could get a sense of how, you know, this is something like programming we've done to ourselves over time. We've accepted certain limitations, and so, you know, as it usually is with limitations, argue for your limitations, you get to keep them. And sure enough, he had all these little limitations that were waking up for the day. But he also noticed that by paying attention to them, they were a lot less. They were weaker. So he actually had a day, I think this was yesterday, actually. He actually had a day where all of his limitations seemed like they were lightning, like they were lifting off of him. Now, have you ever had anything like that? I've never heard of that before.
Not like that, no. I mean, I've had some what I call waking dreams,
mm-hmm.
where I knew I was wide awake, and yet I was seeing and experiencing something within my mind's eye that was a completely different environment, completely different people, whatever. But when you talk about this, it's like I've not experienced that kind of thing where I feel a reboot of my body and I have the awareness of what it's doing. That's pretty cool.
It is pretty cool. I mean, I want to learn it. He's still trying to figure it out so he can teach it to others. But, wow, he's stumbled onto something here. And it makes me think, wow, all this work that we've been doing to get ourselves into a better place, maybe this is one of the things we're setting ourselves up for this kind of awareness. Wouldn't that be something?
Well, I do know, you know, you mentioned that a part of his body that normally would have some kind of resistance, as he focused on it, he noticed the resistance lessening.
Right.
I kind of have experienced things in that realm.
Oh.
Where, like, if there's any part of my body that really hurts, you know, or if I've just fallen, you know, and I can't get up. No, if I've fallen and, you know, I'm in pain, I do know that if I internalize with my thoughts, oh my gosh, this hurts, it intensifies the pain. But if I get very present with the pain, it does begin to subside. At least that's the experience I've had. Just like my focused attention on it kind of starts to release it. So my best guess is that by not being present, I'm out of sequence, if you will, with that part of my body, and so then my mind, as it's going, oh, this hurts, I can't believe I fell, and you know, now who knows what this is going to mean, it's like that creates all this resistance outside of myself, and I think, you know, that's kind of the recipe for being non-present and for making things worse.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that makes sense. But the fact that you've had experiences where you were able to visualize, and I'm not sure if visualize was the word, you didn't use that word, but you were aware of stuff, that, and you were aware of the change as it was happening, that's the part that's pretty cool.
I can remember something specific. specific where I had, gosh, what was it? It was something in my, it was like a cold, but I think it was more severe, more like bronchitis or pneumonia, because I've had them both. And I was in bed, and I was trying to sleep, and I just couldn't sleep because my body just wanted to cough, and I was just aching. And I remember feeling really anxious about it and just uptight and very tense in my body. And I was just asking questions like, what can I do to relieve this? What can I do to feel better?
Mm.
And the thought came to me, just sit with the feeling of your lungs being filled with fluid, because that's what was going on. And instead of going, oh, I wish this would go away, just sit with it, feel it. And I was feeling as much as I could, you know, I was imagining, feeling what my lungs felt like. And it was like while I was doing that, it was almost as if I had kind of ported myself into another dimension. That might be too heebie-jeebie, but it felt different. How I would say it today is, I knew I was present with my lungs. I wasn't fighting against them, and I noticed after I did that for a while, my breathing got a little bit better, and the coughing subsided. So
that also matches actually with what Tom has talked about in the past, not so much on today's show. But in the past, he's talked about how if you have something going on that you don't like and you want to get rid of it, sit with it for a while. And the sitting with it will, in a sense, desensitize it, take its sting away, take its power away. And then when you're ready to take your attention away from it, you can truly take your attention away and not go back. And then ultimately,
right.
it loses all its power entirely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So basically the same concept. Very cool. Very, very cool. And you were listening to the inside. You were doing the more advanced version of connecting to your emotional guidance system. I mean, because you and I talked about that one time, about how you get all these signals. Signals I'm jealous about, because I don't get all the signals you get. Well, let's put it this way. I don't recognize the signals that you get. You get the signals and you recognize them. The only one that I know about is I feel good or I feel bad. That one I know. But you have a level of connection that's just amazing. And I aspire to be at the level that you're at. So pat on the back for you.
Well, it came through time, but I asked a lot of questions. I had a lot of curiosity, still do. And I had an expectation that I'd get the answers to my questions in a way that was satisfying.
Mm, yeah. So, okay, well, this is actually a very short section. We can read it pretty quickly, and then I suspect there's going to be a lot we can talk about with it. But let's just get through it. It says, your wonderful emotional guidance system is a great advantage to you because the law of attraction is always working, whether you know that it is or not. And so whenever you are giving thought to something that you do not want and you stay focused upon that thought, by law, you are attracting more and more and more and more until eventually you will attract matching events or circumstances right into your experience. However, if you are aware of your emotional guidance system and are sensitive to the way you feel, then you will notice in the early subtle stages that you are focused upon something that you do not want, and you can easily change the thought to begin attracting something that you do want. If you are not sensitive...
Stop there.
Yep.
Because I think there was a key point that I just kind of want to emphasize.
Yeah.
It talks about if you're sensitive the way you feel. That, I think, is the key point. If you're sensitive to the way you feel, then you will notice things when they're in the early, subtle stages.
Yes.
What that also tells me is when you're not yet sensitive, because you haven't honed that skill or that awareness yet, then the person who hasn't honed that skill isn't aware of something until it's gotten to a pretty large proportion.
Well, I have to say, I do try to... While I don't necessarily have the sensitivity you have to various signals, I do try to pay attention and notice when I'm on a track that doesn't feel good, in even a small way. And as soon as I'm on that track and notice it, I want to make a change fast. So I guess I'm paying attention.
That is sensitivity. I mean, because there used to be times in my life when I wasn't as sensitive and because I wasn't paying attention and I didn't know what to pay attention to, when something would just get so escalated in my experience, that before I knew it, I was screaming and shouting and angry and furious, and like there was nothing that could like relieve me, and I was just beside myself with frustration, disappointment, anger, rage, whatever it was. And I, in no means was I able to at that point recognize the subtle stages that brought me to that level of really acute, intense negative emotion.
Yeah, okay.
And I would say, in contrast, today I am more sensitive, much more sensitive, because I rarely, can't even remember the last time it happened, go to an extreme negative emotion, because I usually recognize things early enough that if I just start feeling a little uncomfortable, just kind of like, it's not a big thing, but it's just enough that it's like, that's like out of sequence for who I am most of the time. And so I'm already looking at it going, ooh, what was that? What was that? Kind of like, you know, the story of the princess and the pea.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the pea is 25 mattresses down, and yet she feels it when she's on top of 25 mattresses. Now that's really being sensitive.
Yeah. To an extraordinary degree.
Yes. And so that's the kind of sensitivity I believe Abraham is talking about. That when you're able to be so sensitive that you can recognize when all of a sudden you feel just slightly uncomfortable, then you can make a change before it gets out of hand. Whereas if you don't recognize it until maybe it's gotten way beyond uncomfortable and now you're just really, really angry, it takes a lot more to like pull you back down into a happy zone. Not to mention, you've also built up a lot of momentum, because oftentimes when you spiral yourself up into quite a frenzy of negative emotion, it doesn't happen in a second. Very few people have such a short fuse that it happens instantaneously.
Mm.
Most of the time, it takes a minute or 2 minutes or 3 minutes or more, you know, to really spiral yourself up into something really big, bad, and ugly.
True.
Well, by that point, law of attraction is actually giving you more of the big, bad, and ugly, because the longer you've been there, the more law of attraction is like, okay, that's what you like. We'll give you more of that. That's, you know, we're just going to match whatever you're wanting. Okay, you keep offering us more of this really ugly, festering, unpleasant thing. We'll give you more of like kind. So
very
that's
true.
Why I believe Abraham is talking in this chapter
about
the importance and why we want to learn how to be sensitive so that we can catch things in the subtle early stages when it's really easy to nip it in the bud and go, oh, I don't like how that feels. Oh, I was just thinking something, and you know what? I don't even believe that. You know, poof, and you flick it away, and you move on, and you feel good again.
So yet another example of Abraham having meanings within meanings in the books, and just one little phrase, sensitive to the way you feel, having a whole depth of meaning to it, that you have to practically study the whole thing before you know what it is they're really saying. Once again, incredible depth. By the way, we've also created a new technical term, and it's a technical term that's difficult for somebody with a male voice to do, but I'll do my best. It's ooh.
That my technical it's like a little bit of a whine or a wince.
That's right.
So we'll add that to, we already have in the lexicon of Wendy words, icky is my technical term for icky. We don't like how this feels, and
right.
That's like preceding icky.
That's right. It's the pre-icky.
Yep, that's it.
It's a good thing we enjoy doing this show, I tell you. So anyway, continuing with...
I look forward to this all day long.
I do too, actually. So continuing where we were, if you are not sensitive to the way you are feeling, then you will not consciously notice that you are thinking in the direction of what you do not want. And you may very well attract something very large and powerful that you do not want that will be more difficult to deal with later. When an idea occurs to you and you feel eagerness about it, that means that your inner being is a vibrational match to the idea, and your positive emotion is an indication that the vibration of your thought in this moment matches that of your inner being. That is, in fact, what inspiration is. You are, in the moment, a perfect vibrational match to the broader perspective of your inner being. And because of that alignment, you are now receiving clear communication or guidance from your inner being, which is exactly what you've gotten really good at getting. And that's where I'm well, getting there. I'm getting closer, but I haven't reached...
You are so awesome. You are so awesome.
I haven't reached Wendy level yet, but... You know, this is like, you know, levels in the Masonic system, you know, in the Scottish system, where they're like 33 degrees of Mason levels. You're at the Wendy level. I'm not at the Walt level, but I'm working my way up.
But they're both W's.
They are.
There's some synchronicity there.
There is a synchronicity.
So what I wanted to comment on is how beautifully it sets up here where it says, like, that is, in fact, as in when you are in a place where it feels eager and good and yummy and positive, that's the indication that your inner being is at the same vibrational space or match or idea or thought or energy as to whatever idea that causes you to feel really good.
Mm-hmm.
And when that happens, it says, let's see, blah, 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 blah. Your positive emotion is an indication that the vibration of your thought at this moment matches that of your inner being, and that is, in fact, what inspiration is.
Mm. Yeah.
And I love the idea of inspiration because people toss that word around but don't always know what that really means. It's like you are inspired. It's exciting. And Abraham really talks a lot about wanting you to take action or not action based on whether you're inspired or not inspired. And something that I noticed, like, because I did many, many Tony Robbins seminars, and Tony is a big, I call it pump you up. He pumps you up. He gets you excited about something. You feel a zest for life. And even though he does not consider himself a motivational teacher, I would say there's a lot of motivation in what he presents and teaches.
Oh, yeah.
And when I, like, would come home from one of these, you know, 4, 5, sometimes 10-day events, I came home on a cloud. I was so pumped up and, like, energized. But I noticed it wasn't always sustainable, which, you know, those kinds of things rarely are.
Right.
However, I noticed it took a lot of energy out of me to stay at that level of being pumped up. And it doesn't surprise me that Tony's personal protocol of life is something where that he puts in so much energetic exercising and food and things that really cause him to allow him to sustain that level of energy. But I don't think that's not that it's not natural. I don't think the average person is ever going to have that much even motivation to want to do that much physically, to stay in that level of physical energy.
Mm.
But what I found when I connected with Abraham in a really powerful way, I understood how inspiration can give me pretty much the same, if not better, results than what Tony's motivation did for me. And it seems to run on its own fuel source. Like, when you are aligned to your inner being, in other words, what you're thinking about matches what your inner being is thinking about, and you're in that space of alignment, it's like you can float on that energy plane, if you will, for a really long time. And it doesn't feel as though it's taking up my personal energetic resources. If anything, it, like, gives back to me. It refreshes me. It makes me feel more alive, more vital. And so, for me, I find there to be a huge, huge deviation between that which we call motivation and that which we call inspiration.
Hmm.
Because I find that motivation is something that I have to pump up from within.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a kind of a manual efforting process. And I can do it pretty well. I mean, because I've been trained by Tony Robbins. I can do it really fast and really well. But it takes a lot of effort to do it. And I just have to set my mind I'm going to do it, and then I can. But inspiration requires zero efforting. Zero. It is so ease-filled. It's like when you think a thought that aligns with your inner being's thinking, it's like a connection, an energetic connection or a spark that literally creates its own fuel. Now, I've never heard Abraham say that, but I'm just saying that's been my experience, that when I'm in alignment, I don't get tired.
So not only...
It's very sustainable.
So not only do we have the fact that that our inner beings are always looking upon us in a positive way, and therefore we can trust that when we're feeling good, it means we are in agreement with our inner being about whatever we're focused on. And when we're not feeling good, we're in disagreement with our inner being about what we're focusing on. But more than that, if we're staying connected and we're trying as much as we can to stay in that positive realm, that positive zone, then inspiration starts to come. And inspiration isn't just ideas. It's actually packed with energy that goes along with it, energy that fuels us to keep going. I mean, that sounds like what you're saying.
That's exactly what I'm saying. And even to take that point a little bit further, if you experience an inspired thought, even if it's something as minute as go outside and get the mail, or, you know, something, it could be like, you know, go brush your teeth. It could be something really minute. If you don't do it when the inspiration / energy is gifted to you, and you decide to put it on hold because you have 14 other things you need to do first,
mm-hmm.
then when the 14 other things are done and you go, okay, now I'm going to go outside and get the mail, it may feel by that point kind of like drudgery. Because it's like the energy that was gifted to you at the moment of inspiration was intended to be used in that moment. It wasn't something, it's kind of like you can't store it, at least not in my experience, you can't store the energy that comes with inspiration and hold off for a later date.
That's interesting because on the one hand, the inspiration comes and it feeds you energy when you, for lack of a better phrase, take advantage of it. But when you don't take advantage of it, it loses its energy and is no longer available. That's really interesting.
Kind of like, you don't use it, you lose it.
Yeah, you use it, you lose it, right.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of got an expiration date. Oh, my gosh, I just had a cool connection. Remember what? A couple days ago, we were on doing the show, and I was talking about something, and all of a sudden I heard one of my smoke detector start beeping.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, what's that about? Well, every day since then, I've changed the battery. And so I think I've been through 4 batteries now.
Wow.
Every day, that detector, actually it's a carbon monoxide detector, every day it's gone off. And today I was thinking to myself, because I like buy batteries in huge bulk from Amazon. And today I thought, all right, what is going on? I keep putting in these fresh new batteries. Is there something wrong with the carbon monoxide detector? And that's what I started to lean toward, but instead, I had the wherewithal that I've never done before. I flipped this 9-volt battery upside down just to look at the expiration date of the battery. And it said April 2015.
Oh, dear. Yeah.
And I went, okay, so every one of the battery, I went back and looked at all my batteries. They're all April 2015. And I thought, oh, my gosh. These batteries have expired.
Yep.
So I wonder if the reason I'm only getting about a day to a day and a half is because all the juice this poor little battery has left in it, the carbon monoxide unit uses up in about a day or a day and a half, and now I got to replace it.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And it's like the energy source depleted
mm-hmm.
because it has an expiration date. It only lasts so long. And that's kind of how it is with, I think, inspiration. It kind of has, of course, it's a whole lot more than 3 years, or a whole lot less than 3 years, but it has an expiration to how long it will last. And if you stay on that wavelength, if you stay on that inspirational thought, and you keep milking it and milking it and letting it feel good and juicy, you extend it. But if you just decide, oh, I'm too tired or I have other things that need to be done before I get to this thing that is inspiring to me, I have experienced that the inspiration's not there later.
Well, that's interesting. Because, again, if I take what you said and kind of repackage it, essentially what happens is when we get an inspiration, first of all, we have a lot of reason now to say, once we get an inspiration, act on it, don't wait. And secondly, once we start to act on it, our attention to it, according to what you're saying, actually amplifies the power of the inspiration. It builds the energy that comes in with that inspiration. And it's not just a thought. There's an actual energy that is getting built up. It's getting rather dramatically increased. But if you don't pay attention to it, it just dries up and goes away.
And Abraham has said on many occasions, when you feel something that feels really good to you, these are their words, milk it. Milk it, milk it, milk it for everything you have in you. Just stay focused on it. Bask in the pleasure of it until you don't want to anymore or until it just kind of like fades. But when you are milking it, the reason they say to do that, yes, of course, because you'll feel good longer, but while you're doing it, you're sending off a more powerful broadcast into the ethers, and law of attraction has like more fuel, if you will, to match you up with more of that, either for a longer period of time or more of like kind, you know, new stuff coming in on that same frequency.
Right. Okay. Well, this is kind of tying into something that Louise and I talked about recently. So let me bring that in and maybe you can kind of connect a few more wires, so to speak. Because you know the book and the movie, The Celestine Prophecy, I presume, right?
It's been years since I've read it, but yeah. I did read it. Mm-hmm.
So anyway, one of the things that the characters in that book do and in the movie is they feed each other energy, and in the process of doing that, the overall energy level increases and increases and increases. And when they portrayed that in the movie, and you actually see like, you know, a glow around the characters who are doing it, and the glow just keeps getting bigger and bigger. Well, that made us wonder, okay, well, you know, is that really true? Can you really build it? Can you actually feed each other energy and build it up? And while we haven't actively tried that as a deliberate experiment yet, we intend to do that at some point. What you're talking about suggests that, yeah, it probably would, because at the very least we know, based on what you're saying, that when you do the same thing with an inspiration rather than with another person, you build up the energy of that. Well, if you got two people basically feeding each other energy, building it up, it probably would keep accelerating. And it makes me wonder, how big can it get?
Well, I'll tell you, my friend Keisha and I created a pattern where we would go out to dinner with each other, usually every Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
And because we only saw each other, you know, once a week at that point, and now we see each other much, much more often, but back then our schedules really only allowed for once a week,
mm-hmm.
we would kind of mentally make a list of all the things we wanted to share with one another. And, I mean, because we weren't texting during the week, we weren't calling, we were just literally setting up when and where we were going to meet for dinner on Friday night. And when we sat down, you know, one of us would immediately start, okay, well, I had this thought, blah, 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 blah. And then the other, like, so if she was sharing her thoughts, I would mirror back to her what I heard her say, and then I would add whatever insight that I might have based on her topic. And then that kind of would inspire her, and I say that word on purpose, it would inspire her to a new idea that she hadn't considered on that same thought. And then, these are my technical words, we would spin it, where I would talk about it, she would talk about it. And it wasn't like it was an orchestrated thing. It was very organic and natural. We were literally just having conversation.
Right.
But we were, because we're very like-minded and our intention is always to feel good, and if there's something in our life that doesn't feel good, we want to shift it so that it will. And so then let's say she's finished with her thing, And then she'll go, okay, what do you have? And then I'll like share some idea that I'd been experiencing during the week. And then she would share her insights, and we'd go back and forth. Well, I got to tell you, we have closed down many restaurants, and it's not unusual for us to be sitting on our butts for anywhere from 4 to 6 hours. And yes, I really mean that.
Wow.
Let me tell you, it's kind of hard to walk after that.
Yeah.
But it's so worth it, because when we were done, we both felt higher than a kite.
Really?
We were just, oh, my God. Yeah, we were in this space of feeling so dynamic, so good. And after we had done this for quite a long time, like months and months and months, we started to say to each other while we're saying goodbye in the parking lot, can you only imagine who we will be next week and what adventures we will have brought into our life based on tonight's conversation?
Right, yeah.
Because we knew that we were spinning the energy so profoundly that we had just intensified anything we were inspired in or on, we intensified in a bigger, bigger, bigger way. And sure enough, the next week, we would talk about the stuff that had been like on the table from the week before, and now we talked about the new installments and how it had shifted into an upward level. And we would do this every week, every week, every week, until eventually once a week wasn't enough, and we started calling each other in the middle of the week. And then we'd start to have dinner twice a week, and we'd have some phone calls. And, I mean, it's to the point that, like, we were just blown away at how we had spun so many of the things that are important to us into such a big, just big expansiveness. And she has said to me, and I have mirrored it back, that in the 3 years we've been in friends, our lives have grown so exponentially. And we really know beyond a shadow of a doubt, it's because of the synergy that she and I have had to take whatever our conversations are, whatever's important to us, and to have it be intensified through our conversation. And so back to what you were saying about you and Louise, it's like when you talk about something that excites you, there's no doubt that it intensifies the energy, which in turn intensifies the broadcast signal, which in turn intensifies not only how much, but the quality of what comes back into your world because of the energy that you built up. It's quite magnificent.
And as you're saying that, it occurs to me, I guess we all have had that experience without realizing it. And the best example I can give is one that happened with Louise and I. A few days ago, we met up with those new friends of ours that we met about a month ago when I reached out locally to find other like-minded law of attraction interested people. And we connected with two people in nearby Middletown, Anne-Marie and Mike, both of whom, by the way, are contributing to the book. And we had a great dinner. We talked about closing a place. We closed Olive Garden that day. And then this past, and then a couple days ago on Sunday, we connected again. And again, we closed the restaurant that we were in. It was just, you know, it was phenomenal. It was really, really good. No, I'm sorry. It wasn't Sunday. It was Tuesday. And anyway, at the end of each of those conversations, I mean, we were all feeling really good, right? Because the conversation was so interesting and so forth. And I never really thought about it in terms of inspiration or in terms of energy building along with inspiration. But as you were describing that, I realized that must be what was happening, because we all felt so good. I mean, you feel like you're on a cloud after having a really great get-together like that. That must be what's really happening. And we talk about energy, right? We talk about energy in our lives, but I never really made that connection that this is energy that directly connects through the inner being and is associating, the inner being is associating with this event and is applauding it in a sense, and that whole connectedness is driving the process of deliberate creation. I guess what I'm saying is I have a more clear picture of it now through this little model we're describing than I've ever had before.
Cool.
Yeah.
So what we're talking about is very organic. In other words, you were describing how two couples went out to eat and you're just having conversation.
Yeah.
But because of the nature of the four of you individually, that you all believe in law of attraction, and that was kind of what brought you together, was that
right.
subject.
Yep.
That's kind of how you're filtering your conversations.
Mm-hmm.
And organically, you can't help but turn it into an expansiveness kind of conversation where you all feel bigger and more and happier and more delighted and more satisfied in the conversations, because each one of those topics that you talked about actually matured and grew and began manifesting on a different level, in a better level, in a more real level.
Right.
And like last night after the show, I had a conversation with one of my coworkers, and she and I connect at least once a month to talk about various topics that we have in common. And last night she had something very specific she wanted to talk about, and it's kind of been on the table, if you will, for months, and things have just kind of gotten in the way, and we've never talked about it. And we were at a certain point in the conversation where I felt we were ready to, like, end the call, and she goes, hey, well, let's talk about this. And I said, you mean right now? She goes, yeah, why not? I went, okay. So we started talking about the subject she was interested in, just in kind of getting some more insight and thinking through it a little bit more deeply. And when we were done, I mean, she was in a great place. She had a sense of clarity, and she kind of knew what to work on. I gave her some exercises. She's like, oh, I could totally do that. And so she ended the call saying something like, well, I'm going to start working on this as soon as we hang up. And I said, oh, we've been working on it.
Yeah.
It's already in motion. She went, oh, I didn't think of that. You're right. I said, we just spent an hour talking about this subject. I said, trust me, it's already begun. And we had been talking about it with intensity and with excitement. And that's the kind of thing that, you know, kind of organically, people have conversations all the time. But we don't always recognize what's going on the unseen level. And
true.
I know that she and I spent an hour working toward the manifestation of what she's wanting to create.
Mm-hmm.
And in her mind, she was thinking, okay, now I'll start the process. And I'm like, oh, no, I know, we already started it. Oh, that's so cool.
It is cool.
And she's another friend in my life that every single time we talk, I know we spend time spinning our ideas, and we're so inspired. And she started saying to me month after month at the end of every call, she's like, well, I can't wait to see what on earth transpires in your life by next month.
Mm.
And she said, I know you. There's always something huge, because a whole month, that's a lot of time for you to get all sorts of new stuff. I'm like, yep, that's the truth.
That's true, yeah. It also makes me, it gives me a greater appreciation for a term that Abraham was the first one I ever heard use this term, co-creation. And when they've used that term, I always had a very limited sense of what it meant. And they always describe co-creation in terms of the workshops that they do. So co-creation is basically the exchange of the ideas going on there. And okay, I can buy into that. But somehow I always made it limited to, well, just that kind of thing. And it didn't really occur to me that when Louise and I are having a great dinner with Anne-Marie and Mike, we're co-creating. We didn't really think, it's not like we're saying, we're going to sit down and have dinner and co-create. That was not the purpose, but that's what we were doing. And I'm it's like there's like this thick plate in my head that, you know, stuff has to work its way through it. It finally got through it. Like, oh, that's co-creating.
Everything we do is co-creating. Even when you think you're all by yourself, I guarantee you're co-creating with somebody somewhere, and you just don't know it.
You think
we're
so?
We're co-creating with their inner being. We're co-creating with other non-physical entities. We're co-creating with Abraham. We're co-creating with the trees and the plants and the with nature. We're co-creating with everything, because all energy is connected.
Well, this is true. All energy is connected. That's what we're being taught and have been taught for some time now. So I guess that must be true, but wow. So, you know, when I'm sitting down and reading a book, I'm co-creating with who knows how many other entities? It's crowded in there. I mean, I thought I was just sitting down and reading a book, for goodness sake.
You thought you were by yourself.
I thought I was. Surprise.
Well, have you ever had the experience where maybe you're sitting in your backyard or sitting on the patio, and it's nighttime in the summer, and you kind of can get a glimpse of little bugs popping up above the lawn.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You ever had that?
Yeah.
And when I see that, you know, like kind of at dusk, and I'm like, look at all the little critters and insects that are living in my lawn that I never think about during the day when I look out my window and just see my green grass. But there's an entire community under the soil.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
And every now and then they pop up to say hello. So if I'm sitting out on my back porch and I'm reading a book, there's all sorts of insects and other things that are really out there with me, even if I don't see them. But they're there.
And they can do unexpected things, too, by the way. Like, for instance, today, Harmony went outside, and we have a little snow on the ground. We don't have a lot of snow on the ground, but there's some there. And yet, despite the snow, as she was wandering around, looking around outside, I think it was a mole. It didn't look like a mouse because I didn't see a tail, but it was a small animal, very small. And she's going over and nosing it and looking at it, and she isn't treating it like a predator would treat prey. I mean, it was right after she ate, so she definitely wasn't hungry. She was just curious.
And for those that don't know, Harmony is your cat.
Yes, I'm sorry. Harmony is my cat. I forgot to mention that. But yes, one of two cats that we have, Harmony and Joy. I thought they were good names for cats. But anyway, Harmony's out there, and she's, you know, nosing at this mole. And I guess the mole kind of took exception of it because she at one point put her nose down to kind of sniff at it, and the mole jumped at her. And she jumped back up. She leaped back like this little tiny mole scared the daylights out of her. So not only do we have a community living on there, but sometimes they take exception to you putting your nose in their business. That was funny. I just had to mention that one.
That would be one of those things that had you captured it on your
cell phone. Oh, that would be great.
That would be something that would go viral.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. If I had had a video camera going, that would have been perfect. Yeah. But this whole thing about co-creation, I'm acquiring a new appreciation for it just through what we're talking about in today's show. Co-creation, it sounded to me like something you would have to do deliberately, but now it's becoming clear it has nothing to do with doing it intentionally. It has to do with being alive. And any time that you do something when you're alive, you're in some sort of co-creative mode. That's an entirely different way of thinking about it when I look at
so
it anyway.
When I was talking the other day about the coworker that I was calling Person A, and how Person A and I were interacting in a way that was not feeling really good to me,
mm-hmm.
that to me that was a co-creation. She and I were co-creating a set of circumstances. Now, how she responded to them was her business, and how I responded was my business.
Mm-hmm.
But I truly believe that it was such a blessed event that, once again, this same type of co-creation, she and I did the dance and recreated the same thing.
Right.
So that this time, when something niggled at me and I went, I don't like how that feels, I'm like, I've had this happen a number of times. I think it's time to get to the bottom of it.
Mm.
And then yesterday I spent a good portion of the show sharing on the insight
right.
that I gained because of that co-creation. And so we were talking earlier about co-creations that, you know, expand our universe in a way that I think is kind of apparent that, oh, yeah, that's a good thing. It feels good. But I had a co-creation with Person A where on the surface it didn't feel good at all.
Mm-hmm.
And yet it was intended for something wonderful and expansive for me. And I had it occur enough times where it wasn't fun and expansive, but finally it got my attention in a way that I went, I'm going to get to the bottom of this. And when I did, boom, expansion for me happened in a dramatic way. Now, whether that expansion happened for Person A, I'd say I think not, because as I talked to that person today, I could tell there wasn't a whole lot of movement in that direction. But that's okay. That's Person A's business.
That's right. Yep.
But
that's very
what
true.
I can tell you is how she and I co-create in the future will be different based on that subject, because I've changed because of our co-creation, because of us doing the dance together. I've changed, and I'm grateful to her. I'm appreciative of her, it's kind of like on a unforeseen level, we contracted with one another, and I don't mean this literally. It could be. I don't know. I'm just saying. On an unforeseen level, it's as though we made a contract to help each other grow. And we each will get our growth at different times, perhaps. Sometimes people like take the same experience and they both grow from it. And sometimes they don't. It helped me grow tremendously.
It gives new meaning to a phrase and makes me think we need to modify the phrase. The phrase is, be careful what you wish for, because you'll probably get it the more you focus on it. But the modification that I want to make is, pay attention to what you co-create. Because when you pay attention, you're going to learn some stuff that you didn't know before. And you're going to notice stuff quicker. You're going to get those insights that we've been talking about. You're going to get those inspirations. And they're going to be noticeable. So pay attention to what you co-create. And that's literally pay attention to everything. Pay attention to everything you're doing, because you're co-creating in every instance.
Much.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pay attention to everything.
So there's a lesson for the day.
Gifted to us. Everything's gifted to us to serve us in a positive way if we allow ourselves to look for it, be aware of it, and take the data and use it in a positive way.
Mm-hmm.
How can you learn from it? How can you grow? How can you expand? Those are the choices that we make every day. And sometimes we make choices with what comes to us in ways that doesn't serve us. And sometimes we do, and it serves us well.
And when it serves us well, and we say, aha, I want to do that again, we get better and better at choosing how to do it so that it serves us well. That's where the growth happens.
And that's where the journey of life becomes really exciting.
Yes.
And it's no longer ho-hum. It's really exciting. Like, you can't wait for the next piece. Like, I got my excitement yesterday by getting my breakthrough, figuring out what the insights were that, you know, like, I was seeking from my experience in my co-creation. And I have to tell you, it was so fun, like, following the breadcrumbs. I'd ask a question, I'd get a new insight. I'd ask a question, I'd get a new insight. And I'd play with that a little bit until I finally got, you know, kind of like what I was really seeking. And I have to tell you today, it's not like I'm bored, but it's like, huh, that was so fun yesterday. I don't have one of those in my life today. Now, I'm not going to go run around going, oh, let's have some really unpleasant experiences so that, you know, I can have the fun of the joy of the journey, because they're going to come naturally.
Yes. Well, that's what I was saying. You want to be selective about what you want to co-create, and you are being selective about what you want to co-create. So if you want to have one of those, you can really attract it, but you also know how to do it and how not to do it, how to attract something else. You get to be the chooser of what you're going to co-create, which is very cool.
Exactly. And when things show up in my life that on the surface I don't think it's something that I want, I don't just reject it. I just kind of look at it and go, what's in it that's possibly for me, either because it's just pure fun, or maybe there's something in here for me to learn or grow or move through.
Very true. What I do know is that our listeners who are enjoying this journey, there are about four things that I want them to do, and I only have about 40 seconds to tell them, so I'll have to be really brief. Share and subscribe. If you haven't done that, do the subscribing, do the sharing, and it's going to pay off. Listen to the other episodes. They tell you how to do it. Also, reminder for people who are interested in doing a call-in, Tom Wells and I are going to start doing a call-in on Tuesday. This coming Tuesday is going to be the first one, 9 to 10 p.m. It's going to be terrific. You want to be a part of it. And finally, I want to remind people that the book is coming out. And when that book comes out, we're going to make it available to listeners such that they can get a free copy of the ebook. So just a little reminder out there. And Wendy, really quickly, how do they reach you if they need some direct help with you?
WendyDillard.com.
There it is. Wendy, it's been a pleasure. Have a great weekend, and I'll talk to you on Monday.
Thank you. Yes, let's do it again, because this was a lot of fun. By the way, we only managed to get through three paragraphs. How's that?
I know.
Fun?
It's really fun. And we're going to have even more fun next time. So please do join us next time here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye-bye now. Bye.